This is...
Well, here we are.
Felger.
What?
And Mass.
The whole team suck.
Felger and Mass.
Maybe your part in the back is a little bit loose.
98.5. The Sports Hub.
Hour number three, Felger Maserati. Chris Gasper, the Boston Globe, joins us at this hour every Friday, and so he does in our Town Fair Tire Studios. Just want to take the time to tell you that, once again, Agenda Free Friday is brought to you by Planet Fitness. The world judges they don't. PlanetFitness.com. What's up, Gasper?
How you guys doing?
Well, we're just going doing on? Peachy. We're doing great. Thank you. Yeah. So I know you have a take on Danny Ainge and his comments today, and I just heard it. I like it. Let me just give you what Danny Ainge said again today. So Danny Ainge sort of threw cold water on the Celtics making a big move today, and that includes, obviously, the Kawhi Leonard stuff. He says, we don't really have a need. We have really good players, Ainge said. We need to surround them with role players with the rest of our roster that have a chance to win. He says, we explore every trade of players with of a certain magnitude, superstars, first ballot Hall of Fame type players. Yes, we're going to take a look, kick the tires, and see if there's something there. But I think those things are unlikely. So again, he says, we don't have a need. We have really good players. We need to surround them with role players. Is what he said. How do you feel about that?
Based on those comments and also some of the reports that have come out in the last couple of days about, well, the Celtics are going to be cautious and there are red flags with Kawhi, like would he resign here and what's his health situation and, you know, it's hard to deal with his group. Danny is doing what Danny does and what he does very well, which is put a poker face on and he's trying to negotiate, trying to bargain, basically trying to justify why, if he's talking to R.C. Buford, here's why you can't have Jaylen Brown, but I'm going to offer you these six other things you don't want for Kawhi Leonard. You know, this is what he does, and this is why he crushes people in these deals. I'm not buying it. All those things that I just mentioned that have came up in reports and what he said today is true. They are in a good position. He knows he's dealing from a position of strength. He doesn't have to get Kawhi Leonard. I still think they want Kawhi Leonard. And all those things I just mentioned about red flags, those all existed in February when they made the offer for him. And they've made offers for him since, according to media reports. So I think this is just about trying to lower the price.
And this isn't about trying to stick it to the Lakers. You really do believe that he wants the player.
Yeah, I think they do. And look, if they don't get the price they want, I think they'll walk away. But if they can sort of lower the price, and I think... You know, I don't know what sort of offers the Spurs are getting for Leonard, but I would think the Celtics would be a team they would want to keep in it. Just like in MLB free agency, if you're an agent, you want the Yankees or the Red Sox in it. You want the other teams to fear the team that can offer the most. And so the Spurs don't want the Celtics to fall out of it because that would hurt their leverage with other teams. And I think Danny knows that as well. So it's like, okay, well, geez, Jaylen Brown, these picks, you guys are asking a lot. There's a lot of red flags with this player, I don't know. You know, we're good. We're good the way we are. I think it's a negotiating ploy, and I think that's what he does.
Wow. So I like that. Guys, it just leaves the hope open of something juicy.
Sure.
Which is what we're rooting for. I'm not, as a talk show host, the Stan Pat movement does nothing for me. So the Celtics still being involved, I'm all for. Do you read into anything with the LeBron opt-out? Like I said earlier off the top, it's so aggravating with the NBA.
Yeah.
He opts out, becomes a free agent. But that doesn't rule out him returning to Cleveland, and it makes it more likely he would go someplace else. It makes it less likely he goes to Houston.
That's my takeaway. It's like, you know, Houston's not a real consideration, and it never, you know, they never were for him for whatever reason, whether it's LeBron saying, that's not the right place for me, or the Rockets looking at it and saying, okay, we have the MVP, we have Chris Paul. If Chris Paul had been healthy from a Rockets standpoint, they'd probably say, well, we would have beaten Golden State. You know, we're good. Let's bring back Clint Capella. Let's bring back Eric Gordon. We're good. But I think when I look at it now, it seems like it's down to the Lakers, who are number one, the Sixers, and the Cavaliers. And somebody, it's funny, I was talking with somebody the other day who lives out in Los Angeles and sent me a direct message, and they were saying, don't underestimate the family stuff with LeBron, that you know, people out there feel like he likes having a house there and he likes sending his kids to the schools out there. Now, I think some of that stuff's a little overrated. It's always hard to say. You never want to get on somebody and you don't know what's happening in somebody's family life. But I think LA is appealing to him for a number of reasons.
It feels like his wife is heavily involved in what this decision
exactly
is going to
yes,
be. Yes,
exactly. I agree with you on that, Jim. And I think she likes it out there. And obviously they had that unfortunate incident at their house with the racial graffiti. But apparently they're still comfortable living out there. And the other thing is he has that production company. you know, that Spring Hill production company. And I think that's his thing in terms of expanding his brand and what he's going to do after his career is over. And everything sort of lines up with L.A.
So, I mean, I had heard someone said to me that they're not going to move. And they have houses in Cleveland and Los Angeles. And she won't let them move. She doesn't want to move. I mean, the wife doesn't want to move. So it can be L.A. They've got a house there. It can be Cleveland. They have a house there. But that's it. Cleveland or L.A. So, I mean, who knows? Does that play into the Kawhi Leonard thing? The fact that LeBron opted out today make it more or less likely that Kawhi Leonard's going to the Lakers? Do you connect those dots?
No, I mean, I don't, you know, and maybe I should. I mean, again, I'm not the master of sort of the esoteric machinations of NBA salary cap life. So, you know, I could be sort of missing something there. I definitely think there's pressure on the Lakers to pull off a deal for Kawhi Leonard, to pull off a trade. But the Lakers have the cap space, and they built in the cap space to sign two premier free agents. So their cap space exists. You know, they can. I don't think the order matters as much for them as other teams. Now, maybe it matters if they're trying to get Kawhi, LeBron, and Paul George, but that's probably a Jimmy explanation.
You go.
Well, what's better for the Celtics in terms of them actually having a chance to win a championship next year where LeBron goes? Is it staying in Cleveland, which I actually think is the case because he'll still essentially be surrounded by crap.
Yeah.
If they had Kyrie, I think they beat that team in five or six games in the Eastern Conference Finals. Is it better if he stays in Cleveland or if he goes to the Lakers and then deal with them in the finals?
Okay, so here's my answer. I think it's better if he goes to the Lakers. It means the East is wide open for the Celtics,
absolutely.
And I understand your point on beating LeBron, but it probably means he goes to the West. Now the West is much harder for Golden State or whoever comes out of there. You have Houston, obviously Golden State, and then a Lakers team with Kawhi and LeBron. Let those teams beat each other up.
Absolutely.
You pretty much have a clear path in the East, assuming you stay ahead of the Sixers. And then by the time you get to the finals, maybe one of those teams is so beat up that, you know, you take them out.
I agree 100%. So we've gotten calls and people, I know it's in their blood to hate the Lakers and say, yeah, we want Danny to screw over the Lakers and drive up the price on the Lakers. And that's all well and good, except if that blocks LeBron from going to Los Angeles and he stays in Cleveland, is that really what you're looking for? And if Cleveland can add and LeBron can add, I mean, I don't know. I think you're better off with getting the hell out of there. And the East is wide open and you'll take your chances in the finals.
Yeah, I mean, it'd be interesting, too. And then you read stuff about Toronto. What are they going to do? That they would blow it all up. So if they blow it all up and LeBron leaves, then it's just you and the Sixers. And if the Sixers don't bring a LeBron or a Kawhi in, then to me, you're clearly better than them.
Okay.
Toronto. Worried about them, please.
Gaspar, how far would you be willing to go on Kawhi Leonard if you were the Celtics without a extension?
Oh, that's really tough. So without an extension, you know, and I can see why Danny's posturing. I would not include Jaylen Brown without, and when I say without an extension, so, you know, he's not going to sign the extension now. It wouldn't make any sense. But without sort of some sort of wink, wink, nudge,
right.
nudge,
right.
nod that, yeah, you know, I'll sign here, then I'm not putting Jaylen Brown in that deal.
What are you putting in that deal?
I put the Memphis pick. I'll put the Sacramento pick.
Rozier?
Rozier's definitely in there. I mean, I'm sure this is what Danny is doing.
Horford?
Would I move Horford? Yeah, I'd move Horford. Yes, I would put him in that deal. Yes, I would put him in that deal.
Okay.
But I'm sure that I shouldn't say I'm sure. I don't think they're putting Horford in the deal. Now, I need to look at the salaries and see how the money matches. Maybe there's a way Marcus Smart ends up in there if he ends up with a new contract. I just think when you look at it, like, I don't think Danny wants to put Horford, Kyrie, Hayward, Tatum, or Brown in this deal. And he still wants to get Kawhi, which is sort of that's his history. He wants to crush you in this deal. And I think that's, you know, that's not realistic, but why not go for it? And I think that's what he's going for.
This is another interesting one to me, and that is how far is Magic willing to go when he can just get Kawhi Leonard as a free agent next year? And give up nothing. So again, that's the interplay.
There's a risk there.
There's a risk that Kawhi changes his mind. I think they're seeing this now with Paul George, who's not a lock now. They didn't give up anything for Paul George when they could have traded with Indiana last year. They let him go and said, we'll just sign him as a free agent for nothing. And now there's some question whether he's going to go there. So there's that. I love that sort of that risk reward for Magic. So how much does he put on the table for Kawhi Leonard? Zach Lowe, you know, surmised that it could be as much as Ingram, Kuzma, and two future firsts.
See, if I'm the Lakers, I'd much rather put Ball in that deal. And I've read some stuff like, oh, they wouldn't put Ball. I would totally put Ball.
Of course you would.
I'd rather have Kuzma because I think once you have LeBron, LeBron's a ball-dominant player. You need shooting around LeBron. Lonzo Ball can't shoot. Kyle Kuzma can shoot. So I think that...
Well, what if San Antonio doesn't want Lonzo Ball?
Well, then you know, you have to look at it and say, okay, that changes the equation. But if I'm the Lakers, I'm trying to push Ball on the Spurs. I'm not, and the Spurs have one of the best shot doctors in the league. You know, so that's how Kawhi became such a good. They're renowned for fixing
really?
People's shots.
They have a shot doctor.
They do.
What's his name?
I don't remember off the top of my head.
The shot doctor.
Dr. Hoops.
They have a shot doctor. They have a guy who fixes people's broken shots.
I love it.
Before you and Maz played with the Globetrotters, you should have hooked up with
him. Absolutely. I'm all over the place. You bring the elbow in, the whole thing, the shot doctor. Well, fascinating.
So maybe he could fix Lonzo Ball. Lonzo Ball would maybe be more appealing for them from a strictly basketball standpoint than for some other clubs. But if I'm the Lakers, I don't want to give up Kuzma. He's perfect to play with LeBron. He can defend, he can run the floor, and he can shoot threes. That's exactly what you want.
I just find that a fascinating thing. So, like, Magic's got a decision to make there. Does he put all the chips on the table to get Kawhi Leonard, knowing that LeBron will sign on the dotted line now? Or do you just play hardball and say, I'm going to sign Kawhi as a free agent next year for nothing, Popovich, and I can keep all these guys. So, you know, you're going to sit there and be sitting there with your Schmenzer in your hand. I'm offering you some good pieces here. And so there's a little stare down there. Like, how does Magic win a stare down with Greg Popovich?
Well, especially if Greg Popovich is being spiteful to Kawhi Leonard and doesn't want to make the deal simply to say, no, screw you. Don't sit out the whole year. I don't care.
I mean, the flip side of it quickly is that Kuzma, again, would be a perfect Spurs player. So I would not doubt for a second that they want Ingram and Kuzma in that deal.
And where are the Celtics in all of it? All right, we go back to your phones, pick it up here on Agenda Free Friday with Gasper right after this.
Felger and Maz. The Sports Hub. Felger and Maz.
I love it.
You were right, Maz.
I just keep loving it more and more.
Bore my listeners to death.
I finally feel alive.
98.5, The Sports Hub.
Sounds good.
I feel great that we have a lot of players that people like and want. That's a great feeling to have. That's not always the case. And so right now that is, you know, that's the reason why we like our guys too, is we have a lot of talent on our team. You know, I'm excited about it. There's always things that we can get better at, sure. But there's things I'd like to add, but I don't know if we'll be able to.
All right, it's Danny Ainge from today. Chris Gasper's in our Town Fair Tire studio. We'll take some phones. Rusty in L.A. Go ahead, Rusty.
How you doing, guys? Hey, I just live out here 5 months a year. You talk about sports. It's awful. It's horrible. But anyway, I'm in the Stan Pat camp with the Celtics and Ainge, but with a twist. Listen, he put a team together last year that he thought he could get out of the East. The only difference this year is you got two players in Brown and Tatum that got another year experience. You're stronger. Your bench is Rozier, Smart, Morris, and Theis. Here's what I think everybody's missing. He's sitting there with these picks and Rozier and maybe Smart as trade bait. You see what's happening during the year, and if you see a move that will get you over the top, and over the top is to beat Golden State or whoever comes out of the West, then you make the move.
Okay, Stan Pat until that time. How do you feel about the Stan Pat movement there, Gasper?
I'm okay with it. I mean, and this is not me sort of trying to sit on the fence. I honestly think they're in such a great position that either way, if they stand pat, they can still contend and people will be excited. We haven't even seen this team with Gordon Hayward on there. And then if you go get a guy like Kawhi Leonard, who, when he's healthy, is one of the top half dozen players in the league, then you're also in a position to contend. So I think they built this scenario to their credit where either way, they're going to be able to contend, and that's great for them.
I'm looking up on the monitor here with ESPN in one of their talk shows. Has a graphic on the bottom of the screen that says, report, : Celtics likely to offer Kyrie in a trade for Kawhi Leonard.
That has to stem from that Sports Illustrated article from yesterday.
Is there anything new out there? Is there something? Are we missing anything? You guys on Twitter?
I'm on Twitter.
I haven't seen anything like that.
Okay. How would you feel about Kyrie Irving in a... You know, and so this is what I've been saying, Gasper. You tell me if I'm wrong. That if the flight risks were exactly the same.
Yep.
In other words, if Kawhi Leonard was going to leave after a year and Kyrie Irving's going to leave after a year, or they're both 50-50 or they're both 100%.
Yeah.
If the flight risks are exactly the same, it's just player for player, I'd rather have Kawhi Leonard than Kyrie.
No, I agree with that. Yeah. And I love Kyrie. He's so creative offensively, but Leonard's a better two-way player. I mean, he's a two-time defensive player of the year, finals MVP. He's not as creative offensively as Kyrie, but the last full season he played, he averaged 25 a game, which is about what you expect from Kyrie, except for you get elite defense and multi-positional defense at that to go along with it. So, yes, if the flight risk is the same, I would take Kawhi.
I just think it's it's such a risk because you don't know where you're getting with this player because there's so many unanswered questions about what happened with him in San Antonio last year. Did you fake it? Were you really hurt?
Yeah.
Is this still going to be a potential injury we have to worry about? And I know that, you can say the same thing about Kyrie and his knee.
Well, you say the same thing. There's the other thing I wanted to say about, Danny talking, or maybe not Danny, but the media coming out and it's saying, oh, the Celtics are wary of this and the red flag of this and this. So one guy has quadriceps tendinopathy. I don't know what that is, but it sounds a lot like tendonitis. You can get through it. Then they have Gordon Hayward, whose ankle basically twisted, like The Exorcist. So you tell me which guy you think is going to come back and be closer to, is a better bet to be closer to what he was before. My point is, there's risk either way. There's risk with Hayward coming back and not being the same guy. So when you start throwing out these red flags about, oh, will Kawhi be the same guy after this? It's like, well, you could say the same thing about guys that are already on your team.
Here's Max in the truck. Hi, Max.
Hey, what's up, guys? Happy Friday. I don't want Kawhi Leonard. To be honest with you, like Murray said, there's a lot of red flags. Who knows if he was hurt? I would like the Celtics to maybe take a look at Paul George. He came out and said that in like the free agent
right
video that he Celtics were one of the teams.
Okay, so we haven't, Max, thank you for the call. We haven't hit on that yet. This little Paul George thing out of nowhere last night. What do you make of that?
Yeah, I know the Celtics obviously had interest last summer and made offers to Kevin Pritchard in Indiana, and that didn't work out. And Indiana, they got lampooned for the deal they made. It turned out to be a pretty good deal. Oladipo was the most improved player in the NBA last year. I think this speaks more to the idea that guys in the NBA have taken notice of the Celtics. It's become a desirable location. They can attract. Remember when we all said, oh, they can't attract premium players? Well, now premium players do want to come
they're
here.
They're a destination.
They're a destination. From the Celtics end of it, I don't see how it works because they don't have the cap space for him. It would have to be a sign-in trade. So I don't understand how that would work.
Right, just from the financial aspect of it, I don't get it. Like, there is a part of me that would be concerned about, minutes being taken away, but whatever. You would want to add a player like that. I just don't know how the hell they would do it.
Yeah.
Would you rather have Paul George or Kawhi Leonard?
Oh, Kawhi Leonard.
And it's not even a debate.
Yeah. And Paul George is good, but I'd rather have Kawhi Leonard.
We've got Mike in Smithfield, Rhode Island. Go ahead, Michael. We have a Palace Q call. Go ahead.
Yes. Hi, good afternoon, guys. How you doing today?
Good. We're good.
No, good. Murray, keep riding the Brady train, man. That's the way to go.
All aboard.
Everything was going the right way until Belichick started going cuckoo. You know what happened? The two Bills, when Parcells and Belichick were sitting down, Parcells looked at him, said, I could have won that many championships with Brady. Do you guys remember that?
Yeah, well, he didn't. He almost said it. Parcells was on the way to saying it, and he almost did.
Parcells got his point across, though.
He did, yes.
We all know what he meant. He's done nothing. What would Belichick's legacy be if he had gotten nailed for that Deflategate incident as well? What would we be talking about?
Oh, he would have been suspended for a year. That's why they threw it in Brady's lap. That's why Brady had to take the fall for that, because the next time Belichick ran afoul of the league's disciplinarians, he was done. So that had to be dropped in Brady's lap, and it sure was. And if Brady still holds that against him, I don't blame him. I think that's at play for sure. Where do you think we stand with the Palace Q, Chris? Everybody's gone, Bill's on vacation, Tom's in Montana. When we come back, what do you think's happening?
I think everybody's gone to their respective corners, right?
Yes, exactly.
And we'll see when the next round is. I don't know. I think, again, it's a time of year where guys in the NFL are kind of vacationing, spending time with their families, doing their own thing. I would hope these guys would carve out the time, and maybe they already have. If they have, I'm not aware of it. I haven't heard any reports about it, to be able to have a discussion, to come to some sort of detente before we get to training camp. And at that point, for me, when training camp starts, it's like, okay, this is real now. This is real in the sense of it's a potential distraction that takes away from the team. I think during the offseason, like I've said, it's easy to dig in. There's not much at stake. Yeah, he's not at the OTAs, and that's not ideal. But that's not really going to hurt the team. But once you get to training camp, it's like if the lines of communication between the head coach and the quarterback aren't open, if there's resentment festering underneath between the head coach and the quarterback, that's not good either.
Yeah, and to me, I think the tell is going to be the contract. Does Brady get a contract? If he does, it's a sign that other things have been, there's been a whole come to Jesus on everything, and the contract's a sign of it. Without a contract, I think that's just really the one to watch.
I don't think anything's going to change. No, I really don't.
They'll just coexist?
Yeah.
As they did last year when they went to the Super Bowl?
Look, nobody can compartmentalize like those two and this team.
That's a great point.
But I just think this whole thing is going to continue, and we're going to be talking about this into December.
So then, you know what we'll get? What we'll talk about? The 2018 Patriots will be the passive-aggressive Patriots. The whole season will be passive-aggressive, that undertone the whole time.
617-779-0985. Agenda Free Friday. Everything on the table. We've hit on the Hanley Ramirez stuff today as well. Sean in Plymouth with a thought on that. Hi, Sean.
Hi. Thanks for taking the call. I just wanted to hit on Ramirez real quick and talk about his childhood friend and what kind of person gets pulled over with a trunk full of drugs and immediately points the finger at their friend. You know, these drugs aren't mine, but they're, you know, my good friend, MLB star, Hanley Ramirez. Maybe you know him.
I mean, the whole thing reeks. Again, I don't know if it's criminal or not, but just Hanley being dialed up on the side of the road in the middle of that bust and picking up the phone is just, yeah, at the very worst, it's an atrocious look.
It's one of two things that I think that that guy was trying to do. One, he was hoping that the officers would be starry-eyed and say, oh, well, Hanley Ramirez, you have powerful friends. Move along, sir. And Hanley had nothing to do with it. Or, which would be obviously bad in Hanley's case, look, I know I'm in trouble here, but if you want the real guy behind all of this, how about I raise him on FaceTime right now? So that would be bad for him.
I mean, either way, just being within 100 miles of that thing is just...
it's a bad look.
Do you have any thoughts on the Hanley situation, Chris?
Not really, no. I mean, you're still trying to figure out sort of if he was involved, what the level of involvement, you know, was. You know, sometimes, and you know this happens, sometimes you have friends that do things that you don't necessarily condone, but they're still your friends. That doesn't mean you're guilty of a crime.
Okay. Agreed.
But that being said, if I were an MLB team without a clearer understanding of what his role was or wasn't in the situation, to me, he'd be radioactive, and I'd stay away from him.
Thank you. Well, that's, yes.
Oh, I acknowledge that.
I agree with that 100%. But if you count among your friend group a fentanyl dealer, then I'm sorry, that reflects on you, and that's just bad news. So at the very best, Hanley Ramirez is bad news. I hope it's nothing worse.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Every afternoon, Felger and Mass bring you the science of sports.
Stupid me.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Despite the fact that it is very difficult, and I know Bill could speak to how difficult it is for these players to win cases like this against the NFL, there has been a precedent of one player fighting exactly, making the same argument that Edelman's making and winning, and that was in 2012 when Richard Sherman was popped for 4 games for PEDs. He fought the league on it, and he ended up winning because he said that the test was ultimately mishandled. That is what Edelman will fight here, and if he can convince the arbitrator, as Sherman did, there is a chance that this thing could be flipped.
That's Jeff Darlington on ESPN. Still haven't heard from the Edelman thing. The appeal was on Monday. Here we are on Friday. These things usually come down within a week. Still sort of waiting. And again, he based it off of a Richard Sherman appeal that was interesting in 2012. What happened in that case is Richard Sherman was peeing into a cup. The cup leaked. And so the tester took the pee from one cup and poured it into another cup. And when and Sherman failed the test. And when the tester wrote the written report, he did not note the fact that one cup was broken and that they poured it into another cup. And because he didn't document that specific fact, not necessarily that that fact nullified the test. It's just that it has to be documented.
Yeah.
He was let off. And so I guess Edelman's, you know, trying to hang his hat on something similar, technical like that. Have you gleaned any insight into what's going on there, Chris?
No, but just the Sherman thing. Was Sherman's case like you let all the urine with the masking agent in it hit the ground?
I was going to say, no, there was... So Sherman is claiming there were random steroid molecules floating through the air that somehow seeped into this urine sample from one cup to the next.
Like magnets.
Yeah,
like Sherman's like, hey, man, I calibrated that perfectly, so the masking agent had the perfect amount of urine. You just ruined it.
Exactly.
No, I mean, I haven't heard anything about sort of what Edelman's case would be, but as I've spoken to you guys about this before, I mean, we shouldn't even know about this appeal.
That's right.
Right? I mean, this should be a situation where he loses the appeal, the NFL announces he's suspended 4 games for violating the policy. He wins it. It's like nobody ever knows that he had this test that was a positive test.
Okay, so you've implied in the past that he got caught in the crossfire there between Belichick's camp and Brady's camp, and there's movements. You've written things that Bill's got to lighten up and let Alex Guerrero back into the fold and give him to Tom and let Alex back in. And when that thing reaches a certain height, oh, here comes news that Edelman actually failed a test, which did not have to be released. And you say that that's getting crossed in the fire, getting caught in the crossfire.
Yeah.
Which is basically implying that someone on Belichick's camp leaked that. That's a pretty heavy claim. I don't disagree with it. I think it's entirely possible.
Yeah.
But did you get blowback for that?
No. I haven't gotten any blowback for it yet. Thanks, Felgie.
I mean, I'm like, ooh, I mean, what he's really saying there is a pretty, that's a pretty heavy charge to say that Bill or his people leaked out that, Guerrero's so great, I got to let him back, right? Well, okay, maybe not, because one of his big guys just failed a PED test.
Well, certainly, if you're playing the game strategically, the PR game, right, who benefits from that news being out there?
Well, Bill, if he's still
at
war with Guerrero.
And, you know, again, I know a lot of people, you included, like, immediately sort of pointed the finger at Guerrero, and that benefits Bill's argument. Get this guy away from my team and my players. There's no question about it. And I think that coming out, I think a lot of people were more upset and looked at and ascribed more blame to Guerrero than they actually did to Edelman when it happened, to be honest. And,
that's why
I sort of look at it and think, oh, you know, Edelman getting the taint of being a PED guy, it was sort of collateral damage of somebody from a political standpoint trying to make their case that, you know, Guerrero shouldn't be attached to the Patriots the way he was prior to Bill revoking some of his access. And look, you know, that's just my opinion. It could be somebody that somebody else in the Patriots organization. And here I'm speculating, but the amount of people that would know about this test, it would be pretty small. So maybe it's, you know, it's a disgruntled trainer or somebody that's mad that Guerrero is stepping on their toes. Who knows? But there's not a lot of people that would know about this. And out of the people that would know about it, Edelman's agent, you know, Edelman, would any of those people wanted to get out?
No.
I can't fathom that they would.
It makes sense that it would be Bill's camp, especially if he, you know, or they were likely behind the Seth Wickersham piece. It's to screw Brady. That's why it's out there. I'm going to take away one of your guys.
It certainly feels that way.
Yeah.
Or just in the court of public opinion, this Alex Guerrero, we're right to hold Alex out of here.
Exactly.
Because his guys are shady or, you know, et cetera. And
which is also to screw Brady.
Well, yes, I guess. Yes. Yes, I suppose it does all go,
you know,
back
again,
to that.
And this is just, you know, the day before there was a story, and it happened to be mine, you know, talking about the fact that this pregame rubdown that Brady got that we saw in Tom versus Time in the suite used to happen in an area that was adjacent to the Patriots locker room. And now all of a sudden it's happening, you know, in the 300 level or whatever that is there, the Putnam Club, whatever they call that. I mean, that's a big difference. It wasn't my intent, but it, you know, I was just reporting the facts in that case, but it didn't really reflect well, I think, on Bill.
Because it felt just petty. Like, you're making him walk upstairs just because you got a thing with the trainer. I got it. I was just curious if you ever got any, you know.
I'm sure I will now, but no, not before. Well, I mean, no. Thanks, Phil.
A lot different when you say it on a Saturday,
yeah,
Chris.
Yeah, exactly. I know it's a slow period here, and you need to manufacture stuff, but geez.
I'm not manufacturing anything. I'm just going back to what you said. Uh-huh. Did you ascribe any significance to Brady in that video early in the week working out with Guerrero and Edelman, that Instagram thing on Monday?
You know, I don't, but that doesn't mean, I mean, certainly.
I mean, they're showing a united front.
Yes.
I mean, if the finger's being pointed at Guerrero, Brady has no problem still, you know, getting his rub down from Guerrero and putting it in everyone's face.
Oh, yeah.
And,
well,
oh,
I mean,
by the way,
yeah.
Jules is still here.
Yeah, I mean, that's beyond. I mean, at this point, you know, Guerrero is somebody who's embedded in his life, right? I mean, he's the godfather of one of his sons. He's his business partner, his guru. So, I mean, he's not going anywhere. I mean, unless the team, and this is where things would really go nuclear, if the team or somebody associated with the team stepped in and said, you can't, you know, be with this guy anymore. I don't know how they collect the TB12 rent at Patriot Place if they did that, but but they could say that. They'd be within their right to do it.
Okay, so there's a little Patriots thought for you. Still waiting on the Edelman news. Here's Kevin in Stoneham with something for Gasper. Go ahead, Kevin.
Hey, this is completely out of left field, but I've been meaning to call up when Gas is on for a while now, but I just want to know his opinion of what do you think of Kaepernick as the face of the NFL protest movement? Because I completely agree with the movement. I agree with how they're doing it, and I hate the owners. I mean, they're so dumb. But the dumbest thing they could have ever done is try to capitulate Donald Trump. But I just wish it wasn't Kaepernick, because I kind of think he's a dope. And I don't know.
Okay, your
yeah,
thoughts.
Yeah, no, I understand what you're saying. And he certainly made some missteps along the way. I mean, the pig socks and stuff like that, there's no question about it. But there really wasn't a movement until he had the courage to do what he did, whether you agree with it or not. So perhaps he hasn't handled it perfectly from a PR standpoint. But I think what you get oftentimes in situations like this, where somebody's protesting something that's controversial to a lot of other people, is they try and sort of seize on one mistake that somebody made to invalidate their entire point. And I don't think you can do that with Kaepernick. Has he made missteps? Absolutely. Has he done things that have somewhat undercut his credibility? Yes. But the overall point that he's brought forward, to me, doesn't get brought forward in the NFL, particularly in the manner it's been brought forward, if he doesn't have the courage to be the first one out there.
I just feel better if it were someone else. I don't trust him. I don't trust him. I never really have. Like, I think Sherman would be a better spokesman. And he is, you know. I mean, he does his thing, too. I've never really trusted Kaepernick. But long commercial-free segment is next with Casper.
This is Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Boys and girls, I'm here today to present an exciting opportunity for togetherness.
Felger and Mass.
That's awesome.
Of course it is.
That's great.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
No, because I told you this is two summers. We don't know what people are going to decide to do, right? And we can't control that. So if guys decide not to come here, it's not a failure. We turn to next summer. Next summer, if nobody comes and I'm still sitting here like this, then it's a failure. But if you judge us on one summer, that's ridiculous. Then a lot of dudes shouldn't be in their roles. Because if we're banking on one summer for the Lakers, we're in trouble, right? We're in trouble because you have to give us time. This class, like I told you before I took the job and when I took the job, it's going to be a two-summer thing for the Lakers. This summer and next summer. And that's it. And then if I can't deliver, I'm going to step down myself. She won't have to fire me. I'll step away from it, you know, because then I can't do this job.
Magic Johnson, as we wrap it up here with Chris Gasper. Chris, if you're a fan of basketball, are you rooting for the Lakers to put that thing together or not?
If you're a fan of basketball,
yes.
Yeah, because it's always more interesting when the Lakers are relevant. Yes.
I mean,
it's good for the league, but I mean, if you're a Celtics fan, you're not.
Well, see, I think both. If you're a basketball fan, for sure, come on.
Yeah.
If you know, even if it's overnight, even if Kawhi Leonard, LeBron James, and if they get Paul George or whatever they add there, toe-to-toe with the Golden State Warriors, the Lakers Warriors with LeBron, like, that's good. That's cool. It is. Even if you hate the Lakers, you've just got to admit there's some cachet there. But even if you are the Celtics and you hate the Lakers, getting LeBron out of there and having those teams beat each other up,
sure.
As you said earlier, I think there's value in that too.
But there's always also from a, you know, and this is a 30,000 foot view, but from the Celtics fan standpoint with the Lakers, there's always the scoreboard factor, you know, 17-16. Like you don't want them to catch you.
So I hear you on that. I hear you. And wouldn't that be something of just, you know, like as it always does, it just falls in their lap out there. But I don't know. I it's fascinating what's going on and just that, really, the stare down between Magic and Popovich.
Can Magic afford to wait? Because I feel like he can't, and this is why he needs to
I don't even think
this.
Magic. I mean, I don't think he's the real. The GM there's Rob Pelinka. Like, do you think Magic's putting, like, under the salary cap, we
who?
Can do this, and we can do that? It's like.
So, wait, hold on. Are you saying who to Magic or who to Rob Pelinka?
Who's this Pelinko? Like, the game on The Price is Right?
So you think Pelinko is.
Pelinko, that's awesome.
You think Pelinko's a zero factor there, Stu?
Absolutely.
I mean, Pelinko tells.
I bet he has a pocket protector just to do the cap numbers.
Yes, he tells Magic.
But that's how they're going to do the deals, Jimmy. Like, Magic.
Byron Scott used to struggle against the Celtics. So I made sure I got Byron off.
Well, the reason I ask you, Chris, because
like, Magic's going to do the whining and dining, and then the actual, like, you know, the deal, like how it gets done.
Yeah, well,
that's going to be Rob Pelinka.
Yeah, but what's the harder part?
Yeah, I lost that Pelinko game on Price Right all the time.
got blew out.
The harder part is convincing the guys to come, I think.
Is it? In L.A.?
Yes.
I mean, come on, you know. Staples.
Well, how come Kevin Durant never got a meeting with the Lakers?
Well, no, but who's really deciding whether you put Kuzma on the table or not? Who's deciding?
It's Magic.
Okay, right?
Yeah, it's probably Magic.
And don't you want it to be Magic?
So they got to come with plan B now.
But I would think that they want LeBron out there a year early than a year later, because he did just play 82 games.
Give LeBron James credit.
All those minutes.
He did. Yeah, first time in his career.
You know, if he stays in Cleveland, and he's probably going to have to do the same thing again, playing with that collection of bums this coming season. So get him out there now and try to maximize this while you still have him, you know.
By the way.
We had to make this deal.
By the way, once LeBron gets out there, he's the vice president of basketball operations Angeles Lakers.
No question.
Not Magic Johnson.
All right,
Lakers, sixth spot.
Let me wrap it up with Mark in Malden, because he's got a Red Sox thought. I want Chris's thoughts on the Sox right here. Go ahead, Mark.
Yeah, hey, guys. Just wanted to bring up how Murray thinks that the wheel of gutless bums is the bullpen. But if you look at the past 2 years in the playoffs, I think the gutless bums are the starting pitchers. Through six innings, they average 5 runs a game in the past 7 playoff games. So I think before we want to you know, the bullpen has been crap in big situations this year.
I mean, the best bullpen guy last year was David Price, who was a starter. So that swung all their bullpen numbers from last year against Houston, a guy who's not going to be in the bullpen.
Yeah, and that's not even counting Sale giving up two runs in the eighth inning the last game.
Yep, good point. That's
but
fair.
I think, you know, let's try to get a lead in the playoffs before we bag on the bullpen a little bit.
So
Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Mark.
I do want to talk about this, though. And he raised some really good points, and he presented his argument really well. But Jim's argument, to me, was made last night. The fact you had to use Craig Kimbrell in that game and that he could be unavailable tonight for game one against the Yankees, that's all you need to know about that bullpen and the fact that they're short. It doesn't mean they suck, but they're short a guy, and they need help there. The fact, I mean, Joe Kelly's ERA in June is, I think, over 8. And if you have a real eighth-inning guy, that's a guy you can go to, and he can get out of that game, and you don't have to use Kimbrell and waste him going into the biggest series of the season so far. And I also think all the bullpen numbers that everybody throws out there about the Red Sox bullpen,
they're so fraudulent.
They got skewed by a great start from Joe Kelly, and I believed in him. You know, I'm still buying. I think he'll turn it around, but obviously
Sucker.
He's not. I probably am. I probably am. He probably deserves a spot on the wheel. But they also get skewed by Kimbrell and how good he is. That skews their numbers, and it blows me away that people talk about Barnes and Hembree like you can trust them. They did the same thing last year, broke down at the end of the year, and the Red Sox had so little faith in them, they left them off the playoff roster. It's the same bullpen.
Kelly got bailed out by a ridiculous catch by Andrew Benintendi last night.
It was not going
the other way.
It's not good enough. They need more. They need a legitimate eighth-inning setup guy who can provide an opportunity for Kimbrell to get a respite from closing on certain nights.
The scariest part is, how do they get it? They're afraid of the tax, and their system has nothing.
They just traded one of their, you know, I mean, I say best prospects, but one of their prospects having one of the better years in the system in Santiago Espinal. Like, that guy was having a good year.
They just traded for the Steve Pierce kid?
Yes, he was having a good year, and he's 23. He's a little older, Espinal is, but he was putting himself sort of, like, you look at all their prospects, like, the only prospects that are doing anything for the Red Sox are at high A, Salem. It's Santiago Espinal, it's C.J. Chatham, who's a shortstop, who's down there, Bobby Dalbec, this kid they drafted, who has a lot of power. He's a third baseman and a power arm. That's where there are guys that are accomplishing something and boosting their stock this year, and they just dealt one of those. I was kind of stunned. I'm not saying it's a bad deal, but I was like, oh, they had to give up that much? They had to give up Espinal for Steve Pierce? Like, what are they going to do in some of these other deals?
To me, the best, I'm sorry, but the best scenario is to hope Jackie Bradley goes off this month and gets on one of his month-long tears and then deal him, and that's your arm.
Because otherwise, they're going to have to look at moving Rafael Devers, which I don't really think to do.
That's a bad idea.
And just kicking it around with Matt McCarthy last night. Otherwise, they're going to end up with some guy that you can't trust, like Jury's familiar with the Mets, that maybe just hopefully needs a change of scenery and can come here and be a decent setup man.
Didn't know you were a closet Mets fan. You let that out
just
on the
a little
air.
Bit. Yeah. I love that rotation.
I assume if you're dealing JBJ, you're getting like Mike Trout.
Very good.
Of course. Yeah.
Very good. All right. Do we have a Gurry and Masper?
Yeah.
We have a Murray and Gasper extravaganza
Gertrude and Murray tomorrow, 11 to 2. Yes. Gasper Murray, 11 to 2 tomorrow. Will follow up from tonight's Red Sox-Yankees game, which of course is extremely important. Finally, real baseball. And more Celtic stuff.
What do you have, the Celtics hour at noon still?
We don't, but we'll just mix it in 3 hours. So the Celtics show is over for now until the next season.
Aha, very good. All right, Gasper, thanks for coming in as always. We have no commercials, just an update from Big Jim Murray. I'm sorry, actually, Marshall Hook does the updates
today. Jim
can do
it, it's fine.
Big Jim is in the Maz chair, so you just sit your country ass down there, Hook. Give us some headlines, no commercials, and we're back for a final agenda-free hour.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz.